The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
A couple years ago, I'd sent a brother a Christmas card, and he was deeply offended that I would celebrate Christmas. He thought it was pagan, and I understood where he's coming from. I tried to apologize, and I made that mistake.
Hi there, and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who's been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he has traveled the entire continental United States preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience in the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Hello, everyone. And we are starting a series, and hopefully we'll get through it here in the next couple of weeks. I entitled it Christmas Series 2021. And it's going to consist of some videos that are going to be shorter than others, but basically around 10 to 12 different topics between the books of Matthew and Luke concerning the birth of Christ. We're right now, this one is just an introduction to the series, and so we'll talk about it a little bit. Before we leave today, we're going to cover the question, is Christmas a Christian or a pagan holiday? And that is something that is, I wouldn't say extremely controversial, but it is controversial, and so we should probably address that as an introduction. But some of the things we're going to cover, let's scroll down here, and I don't know, I try to put them in chronological order. We got the birth of Christ, of course, the Old Testament prophecies kind of starting there in the first one after this introduction. Then we'll go into the Messiah's genealogy. That's out of the book of Luke and Matthew, of course. The virgin birth. Number four, angelic appearances concerning the time frame around the birth of Christ, beginning with Gabriel appearing to John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, there in Luke chapter 1. The trek to Bethlehem. I did a video several years ago, and I'll put the links up for that probably. It was called No Room in the Inn, and it was quite listened to on Sermon Audio and some of the other outlets in the Christmas season back, taken from a Bible study, I believe, or preaching in a church, something like that. But it covers mostly the story about their trip to Bethlehem. Number seven, Christ presented in the temple. Covering eight, the wise men. Nine, the flight to Egypt. And then massacre of the innocents. A family settles in Nazareth. And then how should we then live? I sort of stole that from the title of a Francis Schaeffer book many years ago as he presented great evidences and different things to think about concerning Christ and the reality of God being existent and all that. And then his title of the book was, How Then Shall We Live? If these things are so, then we should live accordingly, obviously, is the rhetorical question. Well, let's go ahead and back up now a little bit, and we're going to look at, that's basically an introduction. The question, is Christmas Christian or pagan? Now, I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I did want to cover it. You could probably do a whole series on this. There's so much information out there regarding this. And you basically get, I made some bullet points there. We're going to go down those and discuss briefly. Basically, you get a lot of different views from Christians, from the secular people or unbelievers. Of course, if you're a garden variety pagan or if you're into the Wiccan religion, then you have a strong view on some of these issues, taking it up with the paganism stuff. Most Christians would either say, well, it's a Christian holiday. They're maybe unsure of some of the things that are celebrated in it, but we're going to go ahead and go through. I'm going to cite a couple of the references as I was researching this. And like I said, there was tons of information. One of the first ones, and even the ones that would say, even the Christians that would say it's a Christian holiday, admittedly mentioned some of the pagan practices that have become traditions. The first article I just want to go to is, let's see, there's that one. The first article, let's see, this one, in the Berean Publishers, it's by Henry Morris. And the question there, again, is Christian, pagan, or Christian, Christmas, pagan, or Christian. And let's just go ahead here. I'm not going to read this. I'll have this referral there. You can read it yourself, the whole article. One of the things he brings up is there's a festival called Saturnalia, and it is a practice of the ancient pagans in the winter. It has to do with winter solstice and all kinds of stuff like that. And so each side basically has accused the other side of hijacking their holiday. The Christians will say, no, the pagans hijacked it. The pagans or secular world will say, no, we had it first, and the Christians tried to make it theirs, and so on and so forth. So you have these arguments. The other one was, I did cite this as well, and I'm going to put that down as my footnotes on the, and he's talking about Yuletide traditions, seven reasons Christmas may be a pagan holiday. He goes through all those, and some of them citing some of our traditions, and we'll cover those here in a minute. The other third one I did, let's see here, or I can find it. It's by a gal, and she is promoting the fact that it's not a pagan holiday. And so she, and these are hard to find articles, most of them that aren't very supportive of it being totally Christian. Okay, but here's one of the things that she brought up. And let me see if I can find that. She admits that there's no commandment to observe Christmas, so on and so forth. But here's what she brings up. She says the angels celebrated the birth of Christ. As we have that account in Luke chapter 2, it was the angels who were in great celebration. And so there, you know, the thought that, hey, there's nothing wrong with celebrating the birth of Christ. And so, again, I'll give all those references, and you can read the articles if you like or research it yourself. Let's go down through our bullet points here. Okay, so the dates. The first bullet point I have here is the Christ's birth versus winter solstice. Well, first of all, we don't know for sure when Jesus was born. You know, we don't have a date. Now scholars are saying it's very likely he was born in the fall, September, somewhere in there, for various reasons. Their winter solstice starts, I believe, on December 21st. And so you got these different dates of that sort of thing. The gal who wrote that article, she points out the fact that, you know, Jesus did change our timeline, you know, before Christ, you know, like 21 BC, for example. We use it as him as a marker before Christ and an AD, meaning the Adodanoni, I think it's pronounced the Latin of the year of our Lord. So it's after his death, that sort of thing. Well, so you have the date conflicting. Then the traditions. Okay, we got the Christmas tree. We got Santa Claus, mistletoe, nativity scene, giving of gifts. Apparently the giving of gifts is something that was brought out in the pagan religion as well. And I find it interesting because in the book of Revelation, it talks about when the when the prophets of God, the two witnesses, are killed, and then they lie dead in the street before they're raised from the dead. The people of the earth, it says, they were so excited to see them die because they hated their prophecies and the plagues they were putting on the earth. It said they gave gifts to one another. Well, isn't that interesting? So, but again, nothing wrong with giving somebody a gift. Do you have to wait till Christmas? Well, of course not. All right, so we have the idea that the traditions, even in the name itself, Christ Mass, has to do with a lot of the Catholicism brought into it as well. But you got the Christmas tree. You know, if you think of it, how odd is that if you think it through? I may be used to doing it, and everybody loves the smell of the pine needles and decoration, and it's all the fun I remember as a kid. It was great, great memories there. But if you think of how odd it is for a week or two during the middle of the winter, people bring in a tree into their house, you know, and decorate it. It's kind of crazy in a way. Well, if you go back to Jeremiah chapter, I think it's 10, and I don't have the scripture handy. You can look it up. It talks about a tree being decorated as an idol worship. Well, it sure sounds a lot like a Christmas tree. I'll tell you, that's all I can say. All right. Now you got Santa Claus. And of course, this is a fictitious character who goes around and, you know, brings gifts and all that sort of thing. Obviously, that has nothing to do with modern Christianity. The mistletoe, I'm not sure on that one. I think it has something to do with some sort of pagan religious ritual. Now, the nativity scene, that's something that I would say and definitely is Christian. Okay, so yeah, I have a picture of it here. It's basically reenacting the scene around the birth of Christ. Many people have it, you know, in a miniature set, and they decorate their house with it. Okay, now the case for the Christian holiday. Again, it is a time when believers will celebrate the Christian version of the Christian holiday. They will celebrate it unto Jesus. They'll have sayings like, keep the Christ in Christmas, you know, and they'll focus that Jesus is the reason for the season and sort of the slogans, and they'll have a celebration. Apparently, the candy cane has its roots in the maker of it, intended it to have something to do with the cross, with the red and the white are significant, like the blood of Christ and all that. You can research that yourself. It is something that I never knew about, but it talks about the candy cane is actually something that's Christian, and it's shaped like a shepherd's staff type thing. We also have, you know, the celebration of the virgin birth and all that surrounds it. We're not commanded to celebrate it, but not necessarily anything wrong with it. So Christians would focus on that. They would kind of downplay the commercialism of all the parties. You know, obviously the secular world, it's a bunch of drunken parties usually at that time of year, office parties, and then you have the gift giving, and then the, you know, arguments in the family over that sort of thing. People spend more money than they have, which isn't a good biblical principle. And so the Christians would stay away from the commercialism, but they would want to bring out the birth of Christ and all those things. The case for the pagans, a lot of the traditions, again, they're rooted in pagan ritual, that sort of thing. The perhaps the tree, you know, some of the events, and of course Santa Claus and that. Well, how should we treat the holiday? If you want to take a look, I go to my online Bible here, and in Romans, it's a good scripture. It's one of my favorite passages. And in Romans 14, it goes down here and it says 14, 5, and 6. I skipped it. Okay, here it is. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. Okay, so that's the idea. There's a freedom there that some people esteem Christmas to be a day higher than any other day, and they celebrate it unto the Lord. Others, they treat it as any other day. And to that, they're worshiping the Lord either way. Excuse me. And so I think that's the freedom that we have. Now, a couple years ago, I'd sent a brother a Christmas card, and he was deeply offended that I would celebrate Christmas. He thought it was pagan, and I understood where he's coming from. I tried to apologize, and I made that mistake. I tried to use this verse to get myself out of it, but he wasn't even acknowledging this passage would apply to Christmas for some reason. I think it does. any kind of day, any kind of day of celebration, you know, one day above another and that sort of thing. I think that's how we should treat the holiday. And of course, again, there's extremes. There's people like cults, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't celebrate it at all. And they have, they don't celebrate birthdays or anything. And then you have people that maybe go all out and they go crazy and they, you know, and they'll fight you to the fact if you try to say that there's nothing, it has nothing to do with Christ or something like this. And so I think there are two extremes that we can take. I think obviously you're going to have to decide for yourself how you and your family, your church, whatever it is, how do you want to celebrate Christmas, if at all? And I would challenge you, because I found in my own life, I've gone to kind of one extreme to the other in my Christian walk. As a young believer, I was full of zeal. When I found out that passage in Jeremiah chapter 10, I believe, about the Christmas tree, that tree there, I thought, that's a Christmas tree. And I was thinking, I was preaching against trees and I was really going crazy. Well, you know, I think it's something that everybody has to decide for themselves. But I challenge you, because I think you're going to find that whatever you decide, because there's so much intermingled in the whole thing, you're going to find yourself almost becoming hypocritical, or your compromise, you're not going to be consistent. Let's put it that way. You're going to allow for, well, let's allow for this sort of decorations. Maybe we can decorate the inside of the house, but not the outside. Or you're going to find yourself to have inconsistencies. You're not going to probably see them yourself. Other people would notice them. They'd say, well, you have this, you have that, but then you have a tree. And so you get into all this. I would think the higher principle, and that's what Romans 14 is all about. You can read that whole passage there, the law of love. 1 Corinthians 8 talks about it too, in the context of eating and drinking, eating meat sacrificed to idols, that sort of thing. And the higher principle is we are going to take the lower place to esteem a brother. So like that friend of mine who was offended about a Christmas card, I would not send him another one, obviously. I would do what I could to not offend a brother. And so don't assume that everyone thinks Christmas is Christian amongst the believers. I understand that some people are going to take offense for various reasons, the pagan stuff mixed in or whatever it is. So everybody has to go, of course, towards their own conscience. But the higher law is to be appreciative of what others do. So if someone celebrates it and you don't believe in it, you can kind of cut them some slack. They're esteeming that day above another. If they're celebrating it unto the Lord, then that's great. If you don't observe it, if you observe the day and someone else doesn't observe it, give them some slack as well. They're at a different place, and everyone should have freedom in Christ to deal with these things. And so, like I said, you could spend a lot of time discussing it and debating it. I just wanted to bring it up. I didn't want to ignore the possibility of these things, because I'm calling the series Christmas, because it's familiar to the people. And so the Christians would think, okay, he's going to have in that Christmas series the birth of Christ and all of its aspects. And that's what I was trying to bring out. So my friends, with that, join us next time when we're going to do the first of the series, and that's going to be in the Old Testament, looking at the different prophecies concerning the birth of Christ and his first coming. So hope you enjoyed this. I'll put up those links and research it yourself and pray about it and find out where you stand. It's not a real big deal, but I thought I would mention it because the controversy is there. All right. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.